It is at times like this, that is in the liturgical year, when we're anticipating major feasts in our Catholic faith of Ascension and Pentecost, that I am drawn back to a memory of being in the seminary probably this time of year, because the Gospels this time of year, although certainly all throughout the year, but John's Gospel this time of year, the Gospel writer who gives the image of Jesus in his glory, the God who loves and gives us a commandment, not just an invitation or a suggestion, but the command that we are to love one another, that I think about my preaching study days when one of our TOR Franciscan friars was talking about the difficulty that it can be to speak to the people of God about a word that is often overused or misused or sometimes not used at all, and the word is love. Love, 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 he would go on to say. We're all called to love one another. Where the rubber hits the road, he used to say, is how one does that when sometimes we're in a culture that is far from love, might present some mean-spiritedness and dispassion as opposed to compassion, a place that is harsh often in the world, and a place where we are still called as a Catholic community, a body of Christ, the Church, to put forth in the midst of the darkness of the world the mandate to love. Your sharing with how you do that and what the Church teaches about loving is pivotal, he said. It can't be something that one is shy from, because love makes the world go round, and it's something that we all seek. After all, made in the image or likeness of God, being conceived in his glory to eventually experience holy baptism, which gives us the grace and compels us to go out into the world, being instructed in gospel teaching and the deposited faith of what the Church teaches of the fact that we are called to love, and the difficulties of that, and how to counteract that, and still maintain a certain stature, if you will, because sometimes it isn't so much that we don't love each other as we don't even like each other. It comes especially at us, I think, with all this AI that's out there, this computer-generated stuff that comes at that, that often reveals more of the flaws of human nature than the fact that we are made in his image and likeness and called to bring the light into the darkness when the darkness sounds and feels so strong. And so over the many years, of course, for all of us, we think about loving and hating, about disliking and liking, about forgiving and holding grudges. We can curl up inside, if you will, sometimes in a kind of paralysis with the wounds that we experience, either in a family that we're growing up or a family of construct that I've helped to create or in my workplace, in relationships, myself with the world or the world towards me, about how we feel about self-esteem, self-respect, keeping in mind the commandment, also in Matthew's gospel, about loving the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, mind, and soul. And as 1 John mentions in the epistle today, that anyone who says he loves God yet hates his neighbor is a liar. So the challenge is always there, and we feel terrible about ourselves because I have this thought or that emotion that is anything but lovely or liking or respectful. And so we approach how we are to live our lives emulating, if you will, besides the deposit of faith and what the Church teaches and our traditions with a capital T, but looking at the lives of the saints also, who many times, like us, have their challenges, their hurts, their woundedness, the misunderstandings, certain persecutions, reputations ruined by gossip, things that are said that you can't take back. And we look at them and we wonder, how in the world did they maintain what they maintained, not only in their love for Christ, pivotal, but because of their love for Christ, were able to rebound, if you will, and to be able to come to a place, yes, of forgiveness, but especially intercessory prayer in the fullness of time, to pray for those and bless those whom a part of me would love to curse, as strange as that sound, or wish them evil or bad things, in the child brattiness of our own selves. I think of St. Teresa, the little flower. She is someone, of course, who is known for the little way, and it's called the little way to heaven. And what she would always talk about, mine now, she is a doctor of the church, not much of an education, but a great education in the wisdom of Almighty God, and how she opened up her heart to your heart. And in the dialogue that would take place, he schooled her in what is most pivotal and important. Even in a religious community that certainly had its problems, in her Carmelite community of different personalities, clashes and likes and dislikes, still she is someone who emulated in the person of Christ, probably in a lot of ways, by thinking of Proverbs, which says, a silent answer turneth away wrath. First and foremost in her relationship with our Lord, the God of love, because she loved, she would pray for those that she disliked, pray for those who hurt her and misjudged her, and yes, even persecuted her, maybe even abused her emotionally. And still, first and foremost, Christ is everything and does everything. And what he asks us to do is to offer up our sufferings with him to the Father, an atonement for hate and dislike and war and destruction and everything else that goes on in the world. Recently, I came across a book that I thought was appropriate for this time. It's written by a fellow by the name of Alan Epstein, and it's called How to Have More Love in Your Life. Timely. You see how the Spirit works? Speaking of the little way, small things with great love, she would say, we're not all called to heroicism, to walking placards with different things about the second coming, or whatever else we would do that's more radical. But we're called to small things with great love, courtesy, respect, which means to look again with esteem. Mr. Epstein would put it this way, gratitude is everything. Thank God for something. Go out of your way today to acknowledge the generosity of a person you know. It doesn't matter if you've known this man or woman your entire life, or have just met him or her, and don't know if you will ever see that person again. Thanking him or her for a service rendered, or a favor given, or for help to some kind, will enlarge your personal community to include yet another person. Do you patronize a business establishment that always provides you with excellent service? Thank the proprietor, or tell his employee how much you appreciate the way you are treated every time you walk in. Ask him or her to pass that message on to the owner of the business, or write a quick note to this effect and give it to the person you are talking up to. Small things with great love. All I ask is that you love each other. My commandment is love one another. Thanking someone for a service rendered builds community as well as friendship. It makes even the most insignificant encounter, like a stranger holding the door for you at the deli, all the more meaningful. It's a way for two people who will probably never know each other's names to connect, even for a moment. So, how to have more love in your life? We are a Eucharistic people, I remind you. It's called to have a Eucharistic attitude. The Eucharist is Greek, Eucharistia, for meaning the supreme act of thanksgiving. You come to this Eucharist. You come willingly. And you come because God compels us to come. He's the first mover. We are the movee. He initiates, we respond. Think of how you please the Lord, even though you might be pooped, tired, don't want to be here. Will he hurry up and shut up? Could we get on with this? I've got things to do. Whatever else might be going on in our lives, you bring your souls here. You are an act of gratitude. You are an act of love. And we come together where two or more are gathered together in my name. And when he looks upon us, the Father does, through the eyes of his wounds of Christ on the cross, with the help of the Holy Spirit, he is dazzled by your presence, loves the sound of your voice, knows the challenges that we have to be people of the light of Christ in the darkness of the world. He knows how we are misunderstood or how we misunderstand. He knows that many times we despair when we're called to be a people of hope. He knows that many times we doubt whenever we're called to be full of faith. Doubt your doubts, not your beliefs, the fathers of the church said. He knows our struggles. As a matter of fact, he loves our struggles because they remind the Father, through Christ, of the cross that we are all called to take up and follow him. And the cross often is the challenge that we have in the tension of relationships to rebound, to be able to have intercessory prayer, to gather to a place after whatever experience is where I have not loved, that I come to a clarity of raising up my heart and mind to God and asking the Father in the name of Jesus Christ to bless those who, and you fill in the blank, or forgive me for the times when I have partaken in the opposite of what it is to love one another. We all struggle with such things. Whenever we're overwhelmed with what's going on in the culture, or the church, our businesses, our families, certainly we struggle with that and we cocoon. But there's a yes but because of the grace of Jesus Christ at his Sacred Heart. He wants us from our heart to speak to his heart. You do that at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. You do that at Adoration, which is the continuation of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Heart speaks to heart, always full of gratitude. St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in the 1600s was told by Jesus Christ that the one thing that offends him the most is the ingratitude of mankind for what was done by his Son on the cross for us to bring us salvation. Gratitude is everything. To lift up our hearts and minds, he says to St. Margaret Mary, in a moment of gratitude obliterates all the negativity. We suffer from envy, jealousy. We suffer from lust and pride. We suffer from fill in the blank. It can be like an albatross around our neck. It can become like a false idol. I want to be free of that, Jesus says, but it's also in the scriptures. But he repeats it to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in the 1600s to St. Margaret about gratitude, and he repeats it to St. Faustina. Gratitude, 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 a Eucharistic attitude. As soon as I can come to St. clarity, or in a moment when I feel so weighed down, to have that spark that touches me, to lift up my heart and mind to God, a definition of prayer, to lift up my heart and mind of God and thank the Father for Jesus Christ, takes away everything that would ordinarily suck the very life and love out of me. It's a Eucharistic attitude. I want to thank you for your goodness here, your presence, your faithfulness, your generosity, how faithful and convicted you are about coming here to assembly so many times throughout a whole year and partake certainly of our Eucharistic celebrations, times whenever you come to adoration, stunning, dazzling. It moves the friars, I have to tell you. It's your faithfulness to coming early to say the rosary. And for those of you who are guardians, for those of you who are ushers, lectors, for those of you who are altar servers, for all your sodalities and organizations and orders like the Knights of Columbus, all the things that we do, that is an act of love. You see, those are actions of love. We also have the acts of love in the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. So I try to foster and continue to foster and will always foster an attitude of gratitude to the Lord for the gift of this parish and my time here. You may have heard already that as of July the 1st, I am retiring. Father Dan will be the new pastor. Father John is remaining here, thanks be to God, because his special ministry to the homebound, the sick, the suffering, and the hospitalized, that is the presence of Jesus Christ loving one another at the most vulnerable times in our lives. You're getting a younger priest here. He's in his 40s. His name is Father Matthew Simons, a TOR community. He has been in finance and economy in our religious community, and he has wanted to experience parish life, and he's wanted to experience a good, healthy parish. And in all the parishes that we have, I want you to know that your light shines. So he is coming here for a couple of years to experience you. And I look forward to the fact and in confidence that you will experience him and help him and mentor him in his 40s as he enters into the celebration of his priesthood in his preaching and teaching, and how he will enter into the preaching of the gospel about loving one another. I'll be leaving here by July the 1st. I'm going to a place called St. Mary's Our Lady of Grace in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. It'll be a radical move from anything I have ever experienced in parish life. It's a quiet parish. It's an inner city parish. It's an older parish. I'm told that I'm not needed for preaching or teaching or to hear confessions. I will be a priest in residence, and so I'll be put on the preaching band, and I'll be going to different parishes in the diocese of St. Petersburg, where I worked for 8 years in the 80s and early 90s. So it'll be something like going home, although everybody that I knew when I was there once upon a time has fallen asleep in the Lord. Such is life. But I look forward to the change. I sort of am anxious and dreading it for all kinds of reasons. But at the same time, I think the Holy Spirit is calling me to be more contemplative at this stage of my life and to take better care of my health. My health is not what it once was. You need a younger man with more stamina. You will certainly get it in the Trinity, or the Triad, if you will, of the friars who were here. But again, I want to thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit and edifying me by your faithfulness here. This has probably been one of the most kind and generous and loving parishes I've ever experienced in my 45 years of priesthood and 58 in religious life. So thank you for your attitude of gratitude and your faithfulness to the good Lord. The most important thing to me in preaching is giving our Catholic spirituality. Thank you for your patience in my driving that home. But one is compelled, when one is ordained, to preach the good news, to preach the fact that first and foremost, God loves us and expects us to love him in return. That is a challenge, and you answer it well.